Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13. That's the tail end or a furthering statement from the prayer that Paul prayed starting verse 9. So let's look at verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Let's pray. Or just reading it is a rich blessing, or to be transferred from darkness to light. And Lord, this is from your mind, from your perspective, from your truth. Our world does not believe it to be in darkness, but in light. Lord, you've not listened to the world. You've not been guided by the world. You have saved your people from it. Lord, may we rejoice in our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Once air travel, passenger jets began to be commonplace. We also entered the realm of air traffic accidents. The NTSB was formed in the 60s, I believe, and its first major crash investigation was of a plane that crashed in Hendersonville, North Carolina, in 1967. And that was all the big thing there. What happened on that day was there was a Piedmont jet taking off from Asheville Airport, and it was eventually heading toward Washington, D.C. And there was a private little plane that was traveling to the Asheville Airport. And they came together in the air, collided. I've told you about this before. My aunt, my uncle and aunt lived nearby, probably a mile from the crash. And she heard the explosion, ran out and saw the plane go down. It landed, crashed beside Interstate 26. And those two planes had a very common problem. They had something in common on that day. Neither one of them knew where they were. They were flying in darkness. Now, it was the middle of the day. But as far as the jet was concerned, they just had been told to take off, and they were ascending to their altitude, and that's all they knew. As far as the Cessna knew, they were heading toward the airport, and nothing was in the way of them. And yet they came together and crashed because they did not realize where the other was and where they were. Now, sometimes pilots are in darkness because they're fed bad information, bad sensors. Airspeed indicators are stuck. Altitude is wrong. Radar failures. But when you don't know where you are and you're flying a plane, then anything can happen. And normally when people have an accident, it hits them suddenly. They don't know it was going to happen. Darkness is how the Bible describes people who do not know the Lord. The danger of living in darkness, if you can picture this, if you could be at the Grand Canyon at dark where it's pitch black and try to walk along the edge of Grand Canyon, you will no doubt at some point topple down into the canyon. That's living in darkness. It's not just about people who don't know about the Lord. A lot of people who know about the Lord think they're not in darkness because they know about Jesus, they've been to church, they know something about God. They're not the ones. In their minds, they have enlightenment, and they do have some facts about God. But this is not just about people who don't know about the Lord. This is also about people who know about the Lord. People who are walking in their own way live in darkness. People who are lost on the highway when they take a wrong turn, they don't know they've taken a wrong turn at first, usually. They might go miles and miles and miles before realizing. They just don't know. They're walking, driving in darkness. Now, if we're in physical darkness, we turn a light on. We have flashlights, we have lamps, we have overhead lights. And we make things bright so we can see. Or if the lights go out, we stay still until someone can light a candle even, so we don't move and step on something or fall off of something. We're very careful with our steps. When we're in darkness, we cannot move at the same speed, do the same things. So when the Bible says that we're in darkness, it's likening it to physical darkness, so we'd understand. And in physical darkness, you're hampered. Spiritual darkness, you can't turn a light on. If the lights go out at home, you know, you can replace the bulb if it's burnt out. Plug it back in if it came out of the wall socket. There are things to fix physical darkness. We cannot fix spiritual darkness. We do not have an option. It's like you're outside and a bug lands on your arm. A mosquito. If you get a bug on your arm, you just smash it or throw it or shoo it off. If you get a bug in your body, well, you got to take medicine for that or wait for it to get over. Internal is a whole lot different matter. And the spiritually dark don't even know they're in darkness. It's a double darkness if we're spiritually in darkness. Because we're in darkness by the decree of God. We have been told by God, propositionally, we are in darkness if we don't know the Lord. And people don't. They don't know it. They operate as though everything's fine. Proverbs 22:3 says this: the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. So the naive are in darkness. They go on and are punished for it. The only way out of spiritual darkness is through Jesus Christ. Some people think that any way you choose, any religion you choose and follow, will get you out of spiritual darkness. Or some say, I don't even think I need to get out of spiritual darkness because I don't believe in it. Well, that's part of being in darkness, that you don't know where you are. But the only way is through Jesus Christ. No commitment to a religion. And every religion is going to say, if you live by this religion, you'll be enlightened. You'll be ready for heaven. You'll take care of your sin problem. You'll please God. Every religion, pagan religions, all more modern religions, all think the same thing. And the only way out is through Christ, no matter how committed you are. The only kingdom of light is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I want to focus on the other kingdom, though, the kingdom of darkness. As it says in verse 13, he rescued us from the domain of darkness. Now, darkness is God using a familiar experience. Every day we have darkness. Well, at night. You live the day, look how it's nice and bright outside. It gets dark. Can't do the same thing. You might run around today if you were a mind. You young people could do this. Run around the trees and run through there and jump over the bushes. At night, it'll be a whole lot more dangerous. And nighttime is what God uses to communicate a truth to us, because people don't believe they're in darkness, yet the Lord says we are. Light and darkness. Now, unless you live on the above the Arctic Circle, you'll get darkness every day. And in the Arctic Circle, sometimes of the year the sun will never come up, and sometimes of the year the sun will never go down. But we all basically live with light and darkness. And physical darkness, oh, fine. Kind of a moody thing. Go out and sit under the stars. But spiritual darkness is separation from God and life and eternal well-being. It's more serious. And so the Lord uses physical darkness to communicate spiritual darkness to us. These constant daily encounters. I have a prediction that tonight it will be dark. See if it comes true. That later on tonight, by 10 o'clock for sure, it's going to be dark. Pretty sure about it. And mankind has always used lights. Torch, candles, electric lights to live when it's dark. Our cities are filled with lighting. I've gone out before with a telescope at night to see the stars, and you have to get away from street lights, city lights, because there's something called light pollution. Light pollution puts a film over the skies. You can't see the stars as clearly. People with telescopes, they build these big telescopes, they put them out on a mountain somewhere way off. So you don't have the light pollution. Our homes have lights in every room. And we have headlights in our cars. Imagine that, driving at night without headlights. It's harder to conduct our lives after dark. And so God communicates to us the way it is outside, physically, when it's dark, is the way it is in your soul without Christ. And people will disagree with that. Do you think God goes, oh no, people are disagreeing with me. I need to rethink my position. We're the ones in trouble. Because darkness has the double whammy. We're in darkness and we don't know it. Everybody knows that darkness is not the ideal environment for seeing. For a little time, when I was 12 years old, I was a catcher on my little league baseball team, the Indians. And I also played other positions, but I caught for one pitcher. And so we had sometimes a night game. And guess what we had for a night game? We had lights. And as a catcher, I would not want them to have the pitcher throw me the ball in pitch black darkness. We call that a noggin knocker, at least. You can't catch, you can't see it. So light is essential. Surgeons, before they operate on us, turn lights on. They want to see, and we want them to see what they're doing. When the power goes out, everybody's saying, when's the power going to come back on? We're happy when it does. So there's a connection between physical and spiritual light and darkness to communicate to us a spiritual truth. In the physical world, light and darkness command an area. If it gets dark tonight here, we can have the lights on here. The area where we're in would be light. Outside would be dark. It's an area. It's a local thing. In the spiritual realm, the light or darkness is inside of us. It's not an external thing. It's inside. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, How great is that darkness? Your eyes are, by God's design, bring light into your soul. You can interact with the world through the eyes. But if your eye is darkness, well, then what goes inside is darkness. If that's all you've got, Jesus said, how great is that darkness? There's no other answer from it, for it, in the physical world. So you're hampered. It's within the power of man to provide a lamp, but it's not within the power of man to enlighten the soul. Now, psychology has taken that upon itself. In our day, where God's answers have been refused, man's answers have come into play. So secular psychology, psychiatry, self-help manuals, things you can get books out of the bookstore or the library, tell you how to live your life. False prophets will tell you. False religion will tell you. False books will tell you. But man cannot enlighten his soul by the things that he comes up with. So secondly, the domain of darkness. Now notice the verse is that he has rescued us from the domain of darkness. The domain of darkness is an area of authority. That word, domain, means power or authority. My domain and Cindy's domain is 319 Pine Hill Road. That's our domain. Our cats have to follow our rules. We have the house the way we want it to be. So there we are. Within that domain, there's a mini domain. My office is my domain. And Cindy has her areas of her domain. But the whole thing is our domain. That's our area of authority, power. Somebody comes up and wants to come and sleep overnight in our house, well, that's up to us to say yes or no. So that's our domain. And it is a word that speaks of being over something, in charge of something, in your power over that. So a restaurant. Sometimes you'll see in restaurants, we reserve the right to refuse service to any person. I've seen that. Somebody comes in, pitching a fit, acting up. The restaurant does not have to serve you. The restaurant's owner, that's their domain. And when you're in the domain of the restaurant, you have got to behave. Same as in a courthouse or a school. That domain is not controlled by you. If it was controlled by the students, they'd have been out of school for the summer way long ago, like around September of last year. But see, it's another person's domain. And so that domain is governed by others, and we are in that domain. And so it indicates that those who are in darkness are under the control of another. Now, as far as darkness goes, we often think of the people who are really in darkness as really, really bad people. People who worship the devil, the occult, people using Ouija boards and conjuring up the devil in seances. You know, witches, warlocks, all kinds of sorcerers. These are the people in darkness. Well, the Bible doesn't say that's where the darkness lies solely. Instead, the Bible says that every person outside of Christ is in the domain of darkness. Not just the really, 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 really bad people. Yeah, they're in darkness. Everybody. Everybody who is not in Christ. And so they're controlled by another that they must obey. And they're unable to shake free of that authority. It's the domain of darkness, so they're unaware of it. Just like the jets I mentioned. They're unaware of where they are. They don't know where they're going. They're moving on in blindly. So they're in danger. And so the practices of those in darkness are relatable to the physical world. We can understand spiritual darkness by what happens in the physical world when we're in darkness. They don't know where they are. When I was a kid, I used to wake up at night, middle of the night, be dark. You know, back then we didn't have all these street lights outside and things. It was just dark. And I remember waking up and not knowing exactly where I was. And I thought, and I would reach over to where I thought was off the bed, and I would hit a wall. And I'm wondering, what happened? That's the way the world is if you're in darkness. You don't know where you are, and you don't know what way to go. And the philosophies of the world offer you so many different suggestions. Go here, do this, go do that. You don't know what to do. Some people go this way, some people go that way. What do I do? They don't know what the end path is, what their destiny is. You know, que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. You don't know that song, I know. Young people. We don't know. We lost our way. And we don't know what the end is. People don't believe it's hell or outer darkness. They believe themselves to be in the right place. While they're lost. I saw a headline, you know, this is the season of graduation ceremonies for those who are graduating, and I saw a senior class president. I was a senior class president. I was given a few minutes to speak at the graduation. But apparently at this school, they gave the senior class president, you know, a speech time. She spent the whole time blasting Israel and being against them, an anti-Semite. And she probably thinks she's justified. She probably thinks that Israel is the great Satan that she thinks. And there's a lot of that going on in a lot of things. But she believes she's right. Apparently, people cheered while she was going on. Some didn't. Parents came from all over the country and all over the world to see their children graduate, and they got a load of this stuff. And she probably thinks she's justified. You see, that's the nature of being in darkness. You just don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're up to. You don't know where to go. You don't know who to believe. And you end up paving your own way and saying that's the right way. There are only two dominions possible for mankind. This is the scary thing. The world believes they have an opt-out. You can opt out of the kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness, there's the kingdom of light, and then there's where you are. And you will choose, I just don't want to be involved in either kingdom. I'm going to be outside. You cannot be. You are, by the teaching of Scripture, either in the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. There's no other kingdom. You either know Jesus Christ or you do not know Him. It doesn't matter if you're more moral than other people, if you're more moral than this senior class president who didn't know what she was talking about. Doesn't matter. You're either in the kingdom of darkness or you're in the kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of light. That's the only two there are. Now, people fancy another place. God, I don't want to be in the darkness, but they sure don't want to be one of these Christians, so they got some other place. There's no other place. You know where I'd like to live some, just a day or two? Mars. Go up there to Mars. Shop at the shops there. Buy some ray guns. Get a space buggy like they had on the Jetsons. But you know what my options are? Earth. The other planets do not support life as we know it. You got Earth. You don't even have the moon as a possibility. It's Earth. You don't have the sea. It's Earth, the ground. And that's all we got. The domain of darkness is what we were born in. Everybody is born into the domain of darkness. Again, people say, oh, that's not true. It is true. And the domain of light is where we're transferred to. As it says in the latter part of verse 13. You know, there are two rooms. You're in the dark room or the light room. And you can't go to the light room unless the Father opens the door and brings you into the light. Until he does, you're in the dark. Thirdly, there's the word rescued. Now notice the verse again, the first part of verse 13. I mentioned the darkness first. I'm working backwards. I mentioned the domain of darkness second, under the authority of another. And the last thing, working backwards, is rescue. To be rescued from the domain of darkness. Now, those who are in the domain of darkness are unwilling hostages in the sense that they're unwilling to be rescued. Most people in darkness are just fine, thank you. They don't hear the gospel. They don't want to be witnessed to. They are content to live in darkness. I'll share some verses in a moment about that. It's like you who have just gotten out of school for the summer. It's like you saying, do not make us go home from school for the whole summer. And you would never say that. We never said that. Yes, get us out. Let us out. Turn us loose. But people in darkness want to stay there. That's the crazy thing. The Bible portrays those who are held in the bondage of sin as wanting to stay right there. They're not desirous of being rescued from it. Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. John 1:11. He came to his own people. They didn't receive him. Why? They wanted to stay in darkness. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I'm with you. I think I speak for Jerry as well. They come out with a safe and effective treatment for a bald head, I'm jumping on it. I'm not saying, no. I'll just keep the mop I have on right now. I will take it. But the much bigger problem of spiritual darkness, people don't want to get out of it. That doesn't make any sense. The generation who heard Jesus didn't want to respond to him. John 1:11, I mentioned. Matthew 11:16 says, but to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to the other children and say, we played the flute for you, you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. In other words, that they did not respond appropriately to the message. They were chronic and obstinate unbelievers. Luke 22:67, if you're the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. John 5:38, you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. This was the constant, chronic problem when Jesus walked the earth. They don't believe. So you tell people that, you know, unless you repent, you will perish. And they say, oh, I don't believe that. It doesn't change the reality. Rescue. It says in John 3:19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. They were hooked on darkness, and they didn't want to leave it. Men love darkness rather than light. Rescue assumes danger. I've never been rescued from a whole bucket, a tub of buttered popcorn. No one ever rescued me from that. I don't need to be rescued from that. The world does not want to be rescued from darkness because men love darkness rather than light. It's very dangerous. We were earlier in the spring, the normal people who hate, you know, say everything's the climate, you know, global warming, climate change. Oh, we got to learn to live this summer without air conditioning. Turn that air conditioner off and do this and that. I turn your own air conditioner off and shut up. I mean, it's just people are not, they're wanting to be rescued from stuff that's not a problem. Nobody wants to be rescued from that. We want to be rescued when we're in danger. And so when we get rescued, we've been taken out of a bad spot. It's entirely by God's grace, because we are not able to get out, and we're blind to the danger even. So it speaks of that he rescued us. We who did not even know we needed to be rescued. You know, parents will see their toddlers, or toddlers will start toddling across the floor. Then they'll stand up right under the lip of a table and get ready to bump their heads hard, and the parent will put their hand over the head and take the blow, because they knew the danger, but the kid is clueless. So are we. And rescue declares deliverance. When we're rescued, we've been delivered. When hostages are released, there's rejoicing. They're taken out of the realm of danger and discomfort, and they're made aware of the fact that they've been delivered. They've been given assurances. I watched video of some hostages that were rescued by Israel a while back. They went in and they got them. They shot up the place to get them, which is fine, but they got them. And when they brought them on board, they knew they were rescued from the terrible darkness they were in. This is what we have in Christ. We're taken from that darkness and brought into the light. And when we're brought into the light, we get knowledge and understanding and wisdom, which is the beginning of this prayer. We know where we are. We understand why we've been made. We know how to behave. We are living the light, which Lord willing, we'll look at next time. If you have a car and the windshield is painted over black, you can't drive that car. When you get the black off the windshield or get a new windshield, well, then you can see to drive. So it is with us. We don't know how to live. We stumble along, grope. Then we're made in the light. Now there's a parallel, in closing, there's a parallel figure to this, to darkness, and that's drunkenness. How many of you got drunk last night? See your hands? No? Proverbs 23:29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Your mind will utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. Drunkenness. You have a terrible time while you're drunk, and then when you get sober, you're looking to get drunk again. That's living in darkness. That's another figure used to communicate our spiritual disease. Festus thought Paul was drunk in Acts 26, 25. He said, you know, Paul, you're mad. You're crazy. Preaching the gospel to him. He said, I am not mad. I'm of sane mind. Paul was stone cold sober. And for now, you can escape the domain of darkness. For now. Every person who's in the domain of darkness can escape it by Christ. Then, later on, you can't. Now is the time. The Bible always says, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Don't sleep on it. Don't hope I'm wrong. But come to the light. Come to Christ. Plead his mercy that he would transfer you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's pray. Lord, it's really true. The world doesn't think of itself as being in darkness. They probably think we're in darkness for believing in you. But Lord, it's your word to us that we are saved and brought to the kingdom of light by our Lord Jesus. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.